But if you remember this morning, all about the feast. All about the feast that is to come, the feast that even we participate in now in some measure. And if you remember at the beginning, those first few verses which we're about to read, where Jesus is talking about really the hospitality that the host should have and who he's to invite. And so we're just going to spend a little time on that. If you remember, there was a sermon, I want to say it was a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, on hospitality. I think it came from James that was, it searched each of our hearts to think about that and what that would mean. And I think this passage does something similar, but comes at it from perhaps a little bit different angle. So let me read the word together here from Luke chapter 14. This is verses 12 through 14. Let's hear the word of God. Jesus said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this short little passage that is, it searches our hearts, it reveals to us who you are, and calls us to something. Lord, we pray even now that you would begin to work in each of us, that you would apply your word by the power of your spirit to each of our souls. Grow us in our faith, grow us in grace, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, like I said this morning, all about the feast that those in Christ have been invited to. And when I'm using that word invited, I don't just mean you were invited, I mean you were compelled to come. God reached down by the power of his Spirit, and he compelled you. He persuaded you. He opened your eyes to see the truth of Jesus Christ. And apart from that, none of us would be at the feast. None of us would have anything to look forward to. None of us would have that joyful time ahead of us. Something else would be ahead of us. And if you remember what I said this morning, spent a little bit of time on this, is that God, or Jesus, is really talking about God when he says, invite those who can't repay you. It's a principle of who God is. It's part of who he is, the way he functions. None of us deserve to be there. None of us would be there if he didn't bring us, and none of us can repay him. That has to be behind this text. That has to really be in front of this text as we approach it. It gives the lens in which to see it. This is about God and the way he's functioned with his people. And since that's the case, this has implications for how we live. Implications for how we love each other. Implications for our own personal hospitality and what that looks like. And so I'm just going to kind of shape this with questions, and we'll do some other things as we move along. But the first thing is, who are you not to invite to your house? Look what it says in verse 12. Jesus speaking to the man who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors." Now let me stop for a second. Do you think this means that you can't invite friends or relatives over? This would be weird. Jesus is not putting this in some absolute category of never have friends over or relatives or your neighbors. That doesn't make any sense at all, right? He's talking more about perhaps your priorities, maybe how we tend to only invite family or only invite those who are sort of like us, those who are not as much in need. And in that culture, there was a culture of basically inviting people who could sort of pay you back. That was the way it functioned. I don't know where we sit in that. We're usually after things from people on some level. So it's not necessarily sinful or wrong to invite your friends and your relatives. But there's something else that should be behind all that. Look what he says. Here's the reason why you shouldn't invite them. This is why you should not have this sort of guest list, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. Remember, this is the culture. This is the culture of that time. You know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, and really it might be, you know, I'll scratch your back, you give me a Corvette or something, right? It's looking for something from people. You know, I wonder if we tend to live in sort of this reciprocation mode with people, sort of expecting something from them. You can see here that motive is in view. That is what is important to Jesus. It's not so much about these particular categories. So you're not supposed to necessarily go and say, okay, I'm going to invite these four categories. It's more about people who cannot repay you. And the question kind of arises, how do you see people? Do you see people as a means to an end? Do you look for only those who can bless you, or do you look to be a blessing to them as well? How do we understand our relationships, not just outside the church, but within this church and the broader church? How do we see them? Do we see them as opportunities to bless or opportunities to sort of receive blessing from other people? That's what Jesus is getting at here. It's a question of genuineness. Hospitality is about other people. Isn't Jesus about other people? Okay, that's not really who you're supposed to invite. There's a reason for you not to invite them. Okay, but who are you to invite? Look at verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And look at the promise. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Remember, when you got down to the parable, this is the same group of people, the four groups that Jesus invites. And you're supposed to connect that. Be like Jesus in this way. Imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. The way he loves on the poor, crippled, lame, and blind. You too are to love on those four categories. But again, it's not about the categories. Because some of us will be so wooden to the law, we'll be like, well, I've been looking for lame people. For blind people, it's good, but that's not really all that it is about. It's more about the idea that he's describing people who cannot give you anything back as you bless them. And really, it's that you don't expect them to pay you back. Some might even see, think of this, the poor, the cripple, the lame, and the blind. How would the Pharisees see those groups under the judgment of God? They must have done something that God is punishing them for. Think about how that would inform our hospitality with people. Now here, why are you to invite them? Because they can't repay you, of course. It would seem that the heart of hospitality is actually looking for people who can't. Actually, intentionally going out of your way because of your heart for the gospel, your heart for Jesus Christ, going out of the way to find people you know are incapable of blessing you. And then you're a blessing to them. It seems to be what he's talking about. It's at a cost to you for the benefit of others. Ever heard that before? At a cost to Jesus for the benefit of others. Gave up heaven. Gave up the glory. Made himself a servant. We did this last week. That he would come and be a benefit to others. That's what the fuel is for this. Now, if they can't repay you, it says, and you'll be blessed. How does this make any sense? How does it make any sense? If they can't repay me, what's the blessing? This sounds like foreign logic. It is. But this is the logic of the gospel. It's exactly what it is. And so, since that's the case, it really shouldn't be that foreign to us. It should make a lot of sense. I was talking to Jim about this, and I told him I was totally going to steal this illustration from him. This is the illustration he gave me. And we're talking about what Jesus is saying here. Jesus isn't just saying, you know, okay, look, make your house nice and have people come in and you know, bring a few people. It's so much more than that. This is the type of love and benefit to others, a blessing to others he's looking for. This is Jim's illustration. He says, he said, it'd be like this. Buy a house that's a fixer-upper, okay? And then take your 401k and pour it all into that house. Deck it out. Make it perfect. Make it wonderful. Make it a wonderful blessing. And then turn around and give it away. That is the form of hospitality, the care, the love, the heart. And don't hear me saying, if any of you give up your 401k, do not blame me for this. Blame Jim Widener for this. Not literal. It's what should be going on inside of us, the desire, the type of heart for other people that we should have. I've mentioned this book before, but I haven't used it a ton. All of you should read it. It is Rosario Butterfield's book, The Gospel Comes with a Key. It's her book on hospitality. Very similar to sort of what we're talking about. And she has a knack for pushing the envelope. She lives pushing the envelope, which is wonderful. So I want to read a couple things from here for you. She has what she describes as radically ordinary hospitality. And this is what she says about it. This is just in the preface. So you only have to read the first three or four verses to three or four pages to get this. Listen to what she says. She says, those who live out radically ordinary hospitality see their homes not as theirs at all, but as God's gift to use for the furtherance of his kingdom. I don't see my house that way much. There's an element to that, but it's mine. It's hard to think that through. She says, those who practice this, we don't worry about what the unbelieving neighbors think, because the unbelieving neighbors are right here sharing our table, and they are more than happy to tell us what they think. Opening your house to unbelievers around you in your neighborhood, so much so that you don't have to go, I wonder what Johnny over there believes. She's saying, they should be in your home. You're inviting them in, bringing them in. The way we talked about this morning, compelling them to understand the gospel, not forcing them, persuading them with the gospel, showing them the gospel. I find this one really uncomfortable. She said, in radically ordinary hospitality, host and guest are interchangeable. If you come to my house for dinner and notice that I am still teaching a math lesson to a child and my laundry remains on the dining room table unfolded, you roll up your sleeves and fold my laundry. I don't know which one's more uncomfortable. Folding someone else's laundry or they're folding mine. Did you hear that? Host and guest are interchangeable in that sense. I don't know if we'll get there. She lives a different existence with some of these things. I'm not sure I'd ever get past the laundry thing. Let me give you this last one. There's a bunch here. Let me give you the last one. She says, engaging in radically ordinary hospitality means we provide the time necessary to build strong relationships with people who think differently than we do, as well as build strong relationships from within the family of God. It means that we know that only hypocrites and cowards let their words be stronger than their relationships. She's speaking particularly there. She makes a little comment about social media interaction, that our words... we're worried about that rather than building the strong relationships. I don't know what your neighbors are like. I know only some of mine. There's got to be some differences. Are we afraid of that? Do we think we have to come in and make them believe in our certain political party or our certain agenda? Or is how do we sort of approach them? Do we seek to build those relationships for the sake of the kingdom? That's what she's pushing at. That's what Jesus is pushing at. And so let me say this. Jesus says you're going to be blessed by doing this. And he doesn't mean what you'll feel so good about yourself. You know, you walk someone across the street, you just feel good about yourself. I just felt so good about myself today. I don't think that's the blessing he's really talking about. What is the blessing of blessing others in this particular way? It's a couple of things. One blessing is you're more like Jesus. Is that a blessing? To imitate Christ? Is that a blessing to us that as we do this, we know that we're becoming more like him? You'll be blessed by doing this. You represent Christ to others. Is that not a blessing? To know that you actually put hands and feet to the gospel in a way that you can say, this is who my Savior is. That's a blessing. You exemplify that gospel to people. You know, we talk about marriage. Marriage is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of that union between Christ and his church. In a different way, this type of hospitality that we're going at exemplifies the gospel. It describes the gospel to people. It helps them to see it. And not just with words, oh, you need to repent and believe, but actually shows them what it means, what? To come to the feast. That's what we're really telling them. That's what we're wanting to see from them, especially our unbelieving friends. Well, Jesus says you'll be blessed, but he actually ups the ante on this one. So why are you to ask them? And this is where, to really think this way, we have to have another perspective that's beyond us, beyond this, that's even in front of us. And so he gives that to us at the end here, at the end of verse 14. Look what he says. So you can be blessed, but then he qualifies that, kind of explains it, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You have to have an eschatological focus. You've got to be thinking beyond the here and now. You've got to get your heart and your mind away from yourself and just our circumstances. This is me too. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. There's a lot of things in our lives that if somebody said, do you want to wait, you want to get your money now or later? Most of us go, I think I'll take it now. Jesus is saying, in order to do this, you have to look beyond. You have to have a bigger picture in front of you. You have to know that this life is not all that there is. How long is this life compared to eternity? I can't even make it small enough. And in light of the blessings you have in Christ, how important are your possessions? Very small. You can feel in this, when he's saying this, is that this perspective is something like this. I have been so welcomed into the family of God. That out of response, in a sense, that it has changed my heart to understand who I was and who I would be apart from Christ. And he has welcomed me in, shown me ultimate hospitality. And as a response, as part of who I am now, I'm going to show that hospitality to others around me. And this is where I mentioned this just a minute ago. And this is where I kind of want to leave us. And I'm thinking here about our unbelieving neighbors and friends and people that perhaps are difficult to be with. What are we inviting them to? Ultimately, we're seeking to invite them to the feast we talked about. And I would say this, for our believers, we're to encourage each other in those times into that feast more and more as we look forward to that feast, as we partake of it now. But then our unbelieving friends, we're ultimately wanting to see them persuaded. That's our goal. Do we live this way? Remember, our fuel is we've been welcomed in by the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that is beyond measure. Are we responding in the same way, inviting the poor, the cripple, the lame, and the blind? Making an effort at that. I hope we are. I know I'm convicted by that. My heart often isn't there, but I want it to be. And for God's glory, may we do that. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you give us a picture of what it truly means to be hospitable, to love people who are often difficult to love, such as ourselves. You show grace and you show mercy upon your people. And then you call us basically to imitate you and to describe and to display the truth of who you are. And Lord, may we, for the sake of your kingdom, may you use us as those people to further your kingdom, even if it's just in our own little circles. If they never step through these doors of this church, but they find a different church,